Don't worry about it.
Okay, we'll get started. I have something for you to look at, and then we'll have a little bit of the lesson, and then I'll have a little bit more something for you to look at.
Not inviting me to church this weekend. Really, I've been thinking about it. I know we're friends, and you go to church, but I know that talking about your faith makes you feel kind of uncomfortable.
Can you hear it?
At least that's the sense I get. You know, we talk about everything. But when it comes to talking about God and faith, you get, I don't know, kind of tense. I've never understood why. It doesn't weird me out half as much as it does you. But, you know, I'm happy to relieve you of what is obviously something that makes you feel awkward. Besides, what would I be missing? It's not like I'm an atheist. I'm not. I believe in God. I'm spiritual, and I really want to do better. You know, I'd like to understand the Bible, be a better parent, have a closer marriage, maybe even volunteer for something that would help others. But the last time I went to church, that isn't exactly what I got. Besides, we both know that I'm not exactly a poster child for Christianity. No, I've got baggage. I've got questions. I don't think the church is really the kind of place for somebody like me. And I don't want to have to dress up. I don't want to be hit on for money. I don't like organ music. And on top of all that, I don't believe in hell. So I'm not even that worried about what happens after I die. I'm sure that whatever life there is after death, it'll turn out just fine. Now, as far as my kids go, well, I think I just want to give them the freedom to choose on their own. They can choose whatever religion they want, if any religion at all. You know, church was so boring for me when I was a kid. I had to go every single week. The last thing I want to do is to drag them off to church just like that. It turned me off. I'm sure it would do just the same for them. So, you know, it's probably better that they just don't go at all. So, come on, don't worry about trying to invite me to church. It makes you awkward. It won't have anything to offer my life. I couldn't exactly come as I am. I like wearing shorts. I gave at the office. I listened to Coldplay. Hell, it's kind of a joke these days, and my kids just won't like it. Right? But if by chance you think that I have this all wrong, then for God's sakes, please invite me.
Just something to think about. So, last week, what did we talk about? Evangelism makes people uncomfortable. Why care about that guy? He doesn't even want you to invite him.
He cares enough about you to give you some good advice about how to invite him.
All right. He might know a little bit more than we do. Why care about him?
God cares about him.
Yes, every soul is a treasure. And if we don't care enough about people to invite people, then This isn't one of those, well, you should love him the way Jesus loved him. That's not the point. And the point is not you are sinning if you don't invite people. That's not the point. The point is every soul is a treasure. And there's just a little insight into what's going on in somebody's mind. So if you have somebody on your list, and we'll get to practical application later. If you have someone on your list, they're probably hoping that you invite them, but they know it's going to be weird for you. So everybody knows it's going to be weird. But then maybe it shouldn't, and maybe we can get a little more confidence and then some practical tips on how to do that. So every soul a treasure, even ones that you think, you know, might not even ever. So I know Pastor called them, you know, they're sheep, right? Sheep that think they are probably on the right path, and maybe you were even one of them. You know, if you just think back on your life or you know someone, the typical, I'm never going to go to church with you, the guy says to his wife. Right? Okay, well, I'll drop you off. I'm never going in. I'll sit in the parking lot. I'll sit in the entryway. And next thing you know, I'm the church council. So, just an encouragement to see every soul a treasure. This has been lesson 2 and how this all fits into our ministry. Glorify God in everything we do. From the moment we get up to the time we go to bed, every day we have a chance to glorify God in absolutely everything we do. We grow in God's word, and we're okay with that. We're doing that now. That we're
lesson 1.
Is that what you meant?
Every member of missionary. That's what we're doing today.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. Which is technically lesson 2.
Because introduction is lesson
1. Yes. I'm thoroughly confused myself. Trust me. So lesson 1. Lesson 2 in the series. So we talked about this a little bit. What's a missionary? We talked about that last week. I'll just read to you. I know you can read, but I just feel like reading. I didn't get to talk a lot this morning. Here's something to think about. When you think of a missionary, what type of person comes to mind? Do you think of a pastor walking through the bush of Africa? Do you think about sending a pastor and his family overseas? These are examples of missionaries, but not the only ones. Today we want to change the way we often think of those who share the gospel. We want to see ourselves as missionaries who take the gospel with us wherever we go. Today's study is based on the letter of 1 Peter. It was written to Christians throughout the Mediterranean world that were experiencing persecution. Peter wrote to encourage them with the good news of Jesus Christ and all the promises that came along with him. Through this letter, Peter helped them to see that by living and sharing their faith, they could not only survive but flourish. The same is true for us today. As we face the challenges of our day, we remember that through Christ, we will not only survive, but flourish. With Christ's promise and the power of the Holy Spirit, we go forward with confidence. This Bible study focuses on key verses from the second chapter of 1 Peter. Through these words of encouragement, we will see that we are all missionaries with a wonderful message to share. And this is typically missionary. This is missionary work, correct? We take an offering as a synod, we train him, we commission him, we send him, and he goes and does mission work. CMO, Congregational Mission Offering, that's what this does. Peter's going to tell you today, you are a missionary. And it's not going to look like anybody else's mission work. It's not going to be anybody else's commissioning, but you have been commissioned not to be somebody like Paul, or not to be like somebody who gets sent to Africa, but you have been commissioned to be you and to be a missionary in the way that you operate and with the people that you have contact with. So let's see if Peter knows what he's talking about. 3 big points today. 1, we are babies. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Take about a minute and a half and consider the growth and responsibility of somebody who is an infant. How does it change when they're toddler, when they're 14, 18, 20, 40, 60? Take about a minute and a half. And then you can railroad somebody at your table to be the talker. So nominate someone quickly if you don't want to be the talker. Okay, go. Did your talker just leave? See if we can be done in 30 seconds. Consider the growth and responsibility of an infant, a baby. What's going on there? Yes? Okay, it could do that. And is the baby going to get there on his own? No? A
lot of growth, little responsibility.
Yeah. There's a whole lot going on inside there. Your job is to eat and to poo and sleep. That's your job.
That's exactly what I said.
That's what babies do.
Yes.
And somebody has the responsibility of taking care of them, and we'll come back to that. What about toddlers? Does it change when you grow up a little bit?
Could he interview one?
Well, we could interview
I asked him. He wouldn't answer. I guess this is still probably on the parent, but if the child could give you their view, you know, they might say, their responsibility is to learn right from wrong.
All right.
Learn no.
Yes.
You, or mine.
They hear it.
Yeah, or mine.
They're cleaning up, going to the bathroom by themselves.
Yeah, you learn responsibility. You learn that it's no longer fun to have somebody change you. You realize it's fun to say no and that you have an opinion and that you want your way. You start to learn that. You start to learn how to play. Sharing, I'm not a huge fan, but okay.
But you have your first steps, but you do a lot of falling.
Yeah. Learning by experience, right? What about when you turn 14? Yikes. Why that?
We're there. Oh, the pushing back, yeah. Trying to make their own space. But that's not really what you want.
No, I am.
I guess maybe you're learning how to take more responsibility of yourself.
You are.
Making your own space instead of just being dictated to.
And I think a commonality with the toddler, you're going to fall a bunch.
Yeah.
Too, even when you're 14.
So, yes. The worst that can happen, I don't think, is this is confirmation. Oh, I'm over. No, you're just studying. I look at my son when he graduated college, his best friend said, why don't you look happy? He says, why? I've got 4 more years of med school, 3 years of residency before I go to work. Why am I going to smile? This is just a step in the process. We've got to get this to the kids. If this isn't an end, it's a beginning.
For a lot of 14-year-olds, that hits as freshman year of high school. So watching them start to understand that they have to be responsible for some things where it didn't matter in junior high, especially a lot of the junior highs could get them at the failing no matter what. So so when you get to high school, it's like, oh, I have to do that.
There you go. A little more responsibility. What about 18? Has anything changed?
They become an adult, and their parents are actually no longer able to do a lot for them, especially if they're in college or things like that, because the school won't talk to the parent. They only will talk to the student. And so the student has to take more responsibility on for their college education and getting information and things like that.
Yep.
Some 18-year-olds are juggling a lot more than just school. School or a job.
More responsibility.
Sometimes family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
I think that a 14-year-old and 18-year-old, that these are kind of our kids, it's maybe the first time that they have to face anything that's been in their teeth. They actually go out and outside of these like protecting walls.
Yep. Yeah, we hear that in the youth group quite a bit. Yeah, that's real. That happens. 20s and 30s, what's going on there?
Job, marriage.
Yeah.
They all of a sudden have responsibility for a new family.
A whole lot of responsibility.
Sometimes for other people, like she said.
Yeah. And then where it comes back to what we had right at the beginning. Someone's got to take care of this infant. And do you know how to do that right away?
They don't come with
instructions. They don't. Yeah.
Why'd
you say
that?
They don't come with instruction manuals.
No.
You know, babies, that's, you learn on the fly.
Uh-huh. And if you could break them, you probably would. You know? Yes.
Today, probably a lot of, very different from in the past, where by 20, you kind of were like really an adult, whereas today, they're still not even adults. They're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. I was wondering if somebody was going to talk about that. Because my grandpa, when he was 18, is so different than when somebody is 18 today. And that's not good or bad. It just is what it is. Yeah. You know, you look at, and here's an example. There are guys who, especially law enforcement, you know, they are policemen their whole lives, and then they go to seminary and become pastors, and they just have this wealth of maturity and experience, and then you finally get it, and so that just happens. And I think, you know, if you had to be a pastor when you were 18, you know, no way. You know, it's just different. Could I have been married at 18? You know, poor you, if we got married when I was 18. But 18 used to be a whole lot different. And so I think, you know, there has just been some changes. Good or bad, right or wrong, it just is what it is. This is my Google family. There's some 20 and 30-year-old Google people. They're happy, but life is a lot different than when they were 14. 40s and 50s, what's going on now? Okay. You said looking forward to retirement and grandkids.
Make sure you're ready for them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
It also is taking care of your parents' grass.
Mm-hmm. It's coming around, isn't it? Yeah. What did you say before, sir?
Looking forward to retirement, but also, am I going to be ready financially?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you're 40 or 50, it's probably a little too late to start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You really start thinking about your own health when you get 50.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how it goes, right? 60s plus, now what?
The golden years.
It's all downhill. Golden, how come?
Well, you ate with places you didn't know you had.
Yeah.
You like it's wonderful company. And yet, you're wiser than you've ever been, and you have a chance. And hopefully, you've learned over the years the patience it takes to sometimes deal with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Mrs. Walker. Is Mr. Walker here?
You didn't have to call me out.
I'd
be late.
No, I didn't. Is Mr. Walker here?
Yes.
Is he here right now? Oh, here
he
goes.
He will be.
We were talking about, real quick, what do you want in a teacher to replace him? How about 40 years of experience? Mm-hmm. You know, and so to your point, golden, it is. And what comes along with that is. Hi, Mr. Walker, we were talking about you. Sorry.
He said he would forgive me for being late.
So here we go. Now, what about spiritually? This is what we want to talk about, because we're going to talk what happens if you don't ever grow up physically or mentally or emotionally. Are there any signs that you haven't grown up? There's a list on the top of the next page. Do you think any of these are signs that you haven't grown up? So pick two of them. Which are the top two, or the most prevalent, that you have not grown up?
You can't feed yourself.
No, maybe, right? If you...
No, because there are some elderly people.
Right, if you don't are not responsible enough to take care of yourself or those people for whom you are responsible, yeah, then it can become pretty serious.
What does God's by a nickname mean?
Thank you.
The big guy, you know, you hear the nickname. He's the big guy, you know, the guy in the sky. Those are the nickname types of people you use. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Oh, goes by a nickname.
There we go.
What about if you're not married yet? Have you not grown up?
So I guess we have something definitely are there.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
But not necessarily at the same time. Yeah. Okay. Different life experiences for different people. Yeah. At what point is a person done growing up?
2 days after a funeral.
You know, put that thought on hold, and we're going to come right back to that. Are you ever really done growing up, learning, experiencing,
you
sharing?
You shouldn't be. Okay. But sometimes as we get older, we think, oh, well, I learned all that, so I don't really need to learn anymore. You know, older people with technology, no offense to anybody in here, I'm just saying that there are some people that think, oh, I've already done my time, I don't need to learn anymore. I've already studied the Bible, I don't need to study it anymore, that kind of stuff.
So maybe it's not just the confirmation student that has to be aware of, I'm done learning. Yeah. I've got it all figured out. Okay. Let's look at growing up spiritually in the same way we looked at growing up physically and emotionally. What could we expect to see here? What does a spiritual infant look like? Maybe when you're 14, 18, 20, 40, 60. I'm going to take a little bit more time on this because this is really the point of what we're talking about. We're not really talking about physical or psychological development. But what about spiritually speaking? Peter just said, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So tell me what that looks like. Take about 5 minutes at your table, jot some thoughts down. Do you have a starter for us?
I was just thinking about baptism.
Okay. So where does baptism play in on the spiritual? Does that make you a spiritual baby? Does that make you sippy? Take some time to take 5 minutes and talk about this, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Spiritual
No, I was going to talk about you in a complimentary way, and then I saw Mrs. Wasser out of nowhere. And so in that room. The name went out of my mouth already, and then I saw you and I'm like, tell the story. About how we can't replace your wisdom and your experience. So it was a positive, and it started digging, you know.
No matter what age you are, you can make up
Because
I like to talk.
But how you really don't respond.
That's the thing about this call conference is they can relate to a kind of people who call Jesus sometimes they don't deal. And I can't relate to a kind of person who didn't hear Jesus. So my natural tendency is to take everything for granted as opposed to that, having actually experienced the rebirth later in life. It's not bad to know Jesus from the time you're a baby. Spiritual force will still show up, a little bit defiant. Everything that isn't fair or doesn't make sense needs to be brought out. The ultimate unfairness is the fact that Jesus is even talking to you.
Well, and also you're supposed to
Well, right, and like the guy said in the beginning, you guys were here for this. It was kind of cool. He showed us a guy talking. It was on stage. It wasn't just you want to invite me to church? You know? That was the other guy's perspective. It was, you know, this makes you uncomfortable. I can see that. And he kind of shared his whole thought process, which was flawed, and it ultimately did not include me to be in church. But we're starting to get people who are this age now who have had parents who have said, I was meant to be that age. You know what I mean? Because that's very common these days. Now those people are starting to get to the age where they're young adults, and they never had
Wait, 1 minute.
Maybe my point is that this is not personal, unless you've been able to rock here. You know, how do I get to 25 and just figure out what is your certain reward that you need to have a father? No, I'm going the wrong direction on this. You're right.
Spiritually the same way they grow up physically and emotionally. We would expect them to.
All right. If we look at growing up spiritually in the same way we look at growing up physically and emotionally, what can we expect to see on this scale? The question is, if we look at growing up spiritually in the same way we look at growing up physically and emotionally, what could we expect to see at each of these different stages of someone's spiritual life? Brett, and then Steve.
So as a newly baptized Christian, there's going to be a lot of growth. You're going to be learning a ton of stuff because it's new to you. Maybe not, but more for some than others. And you're going to be craving that spiritual milk, too. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You really don't have a lot of responsibility over sharing that with others yet, just because you're still growing.
Okay, Steve?
He's pretty much got it. You're in a learning stage. You're going to be fed and nurtured and led. You're not the leader. You're being the leadee, if you will, and you're going to be training.
Okay. You can jump ahead to any one of these. Which ones do you think are most critical? Which ones do you want to talk about? Yeah.
I was just thinking, though, regardless of whether you're an infant or you're in your 70s, you should always expect to grow in faith. Because I think it was Pastor Heckmeyer used to always make the point, if you're not growing spiritually, you're dying. So, while as an infant, what you're hearing may be new, to me, one of the benefits of being in a Bible study, for example, is hearing other people's perspective on an issue. Because many times, I hear things that I would have never thought of on my own. So there's still that opportunity for growth.
Good. Trish, and then Dick.
Also, not necessarily spiritual infant, because you're saying that they, well, if you think about an infant, they can't really talk. But newborn Christian people or new people to the faith have an excitement that people that have been in it for all their lives usually don't have. I mean, they want to go tell everybody about what they've heard and what they're doing and how God has changed their life. They've got that excitement, like a two-year-old coming and telling you that they saw a butterfly. You know, that exuberance that we sometimes become complacent in as we become more set in our...
Their spiritual maturity might have something to do with what they see in their parents and grandparents as far as cherishing the Word of God and teaching it at home and being sure that they didn't church and that their parents know that it's important to hear the Word of God and cherish the worship together.
Yeah, and that's really, I think there's a great parallel there too. What's going on in the home? If you have, some of you are teachers, and if you have kids who really struggle, they really don't listen, they can't even function, well then you go into their home and you see that that's exactly how the parents are, and they're not very responsible either. They don't take care of themselves, they don't take care of this child, and so it really explains a lot. And I think there's a perfect parallel to what you're talking about. Modeling it for your kids is really important. Yeah?
And the one important thing I think is home devotions support the whole family, where you sit down and everybody takes part in reading that.
Yeah. Okay. Donna, and then.
I was going to say, in a way, physical age is unrelated to spiritual age, because you could be like a spiritual infant if you're a brand new Christian and you're just starting to learn the Bible stories or whatever. You know, you could be any of these. Kind of unrelated to your actual.
Okay, good. Important to remember. Yes. Rosemary.
Somewhere in your spiritual maturity, you have to go from thinking of God's word as something I want. I mean, something I need rather than something I want. So, you know, like going to church. You know, but I don't want to go. I don't want to hear that part of God's word, or I don't want, you know, like, because it's so still self-centered, you have to get to the point where it's not about, you know, what you want, it's about what God can give you.
Okay.
You need.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Walker.
It's difficult to really match them up chronologically, but I think overall, when you're young in the faith, you're so excited about what God has done to you, for you, and to you. It still becomes so much about you until you start to grow a little bit more in the faith, and then you realize, then some maturity becomes when you realize that there are so many other souls out there besides yourself that don't know that they're saved. And then you get an enthusiasm to try to save the world, and then that's when life as a Christian starts to take on the form of an adult Christian. And then it's good to have a older, wiser Christian who's been through it, just like it would be in regular life, when you can see the problems that you're going to face in the real world and know that there is a way to get through those real world problems. In your spiritual life, there's also a way to get through the spiritual battles that we're going to be facing. And the great thing about it in the spiritual life is that, as opposed to the life in this world, we might have other people that we go to for wisdom. What we get to do, we go to our Heavenly Father for His wisdom. He gives us strength. The Spirit actually does help us to take on these challenges that we face. And the more challenges that the Lord gives us as we're trying to extend Christ's kingdom, then the stronger we become and the more better equipped we are to help others in God's kingdom. So there's certainly a strong parallel between the growth of a Christian and his maturity, and our reliance on each other as spiritual, in our spiritual growth and maturity.
I think we could talk about this all day. Let's just wrap it up like this, because you've all said this. You've all said exactly what this is going to show. You know, is this a spiritual infant? You know, it could be. Physical and spiritual aren't always connected. Although there's something to be said that typically as you get older, you spiritually mature also. But a spiritual infant is going to be new to the faith, need care and instruction in the Word of God. That's just how that is. He might not change at all. Now he's a toddler. Maybe Sunday school is important, worship, Bible information class, Bible class. You start having spiritual conversations. It's not just, wow, this is all great, but now I know how to talk about it because I know how it relates to me more. Now maybe you've been confirmed, or maybe you took an adult confirmation class. You've been strengthened in the faith, and you promise to be faithful even to the point of death because God has now worked this conviction in my heart. Solid in your personal faith. Your faith has been tested a little bit. Somebody brought that up. Your faith is starting to be tested once you maybe go to a different school or you get a job or you get different circles of friends at college. If you are spiritually in your 20s and 30s, you look to share what has been given. Fosters those who are younger in the faith. And I think this is really where, for this class and these purposes, this is really where things start to make sense. Not only do I know this, but I know that now it's bigger than just me. And so you maybe start to have these spiritual conversations. 2-year-olds, the world revolves around me. And in a way, it does. And if you never outgrow that, you're going to have all kinds of problems in life. But once you realize that the world does not revolve around me, and I can't make it revolve around me, and if I do, maybe that'll come in handy sometimes, but typically it doesn't. You are not the best you when you get stuck like that. There's a flight attendant once who told us as we were boarding, and I forget which child it was, but one of them was about 2 or 3, and she said, oh, well, we have a baby on board, and she was just great, and some of us made a comment like, well, we hope it's a good flight for us. She said, oh, you know, it's never a problem when 2-year-olds act like 2-year-olds. You know, it's when 40-year-olds act like 2-year-olds on an airplane. That's when you have a problem. You know, that's a lighthearted way of saying that if you don't, you know, get beyond being spiritually 2 years old, you're going to miss out on so much. I have something to share. I have a service to offer. I fit into this kingdom. You know, I fit into the family of God, into the body of Christ, and it's a neat thing. And so getting to that point, and I guess at what stage, spiritually speaking, are you going to grow up beyond, oh, I can never do that. I cannot share my faith. So I think that's probably going to be the application that we're going to try and make. 40s, 50s works to share the gospel in your own life and train future generations. And I think the sooner, you know, the example of family Bible study and devotion was brought up. And the sooner we realize how valuable that is, you know, the sooner you're going to start nurturing family too. But realizing I have something to offer, not only do I have something, I have a job. And not only is it a job, but it's a joyful responsibility. Maybe you are a lay leader. Maybe you go have some sort of ministry, or maybe you actually go into the public ministry. And so, yeah, at any physical age, you could probably be at any one of these spiritual levels of maturity and understanding too. What do you think about this? Agree or disagree? If a person doesn't go to Bible class after confirmation class, he will remain a spiritual 14-year-old the rest of his life.
True.
Maybe.
Do you agree?
Maybe disagree, because I think that they have they run the risk of actually losing their faith.
Well,
yeah.
That's sort of the same.
Well, no, because a spiritual 14-year-old.
The same way. But they need something. They need something to challenge them, so that when they get out in the secular world, they're able to deal with it. And that's what the big problem is with Christianity: is kids aren't ready to deal with that. All these questions of evolution and so forth.
Yeah. So if you go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking the other thing. We kind of went through the progression, and the question I'm asking, I guess, and maybe we get to it, but is what pushes you from one to the other? I mean, if you go to church, read your Bible, agree for sure, that'll push you kind of forward. But then it's also, what are the other exercises? It's taking that risk to have that discussion with somebody at work. That, or it's, you know what, I'm not going to just blow out of here after early service and go get all my work done at home. Or it's, I'm going to have that hard discussion with a family member. I just, what kind of pushes you forward and gets you up that maturity curve? I mean, we're talking about what'll send you backward. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, Paul would say Christ's love compels us to be his ambassador.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's really the heart of this. If you just get to a point where, okay, I'm in this church now, I'm a member of this congregation, I'm a confirmed member, this is great. And you go to church and you are going to have a very good relationship with Jesus, but you are going to be missing out on a whole lot more. So Christ's love compels us to, so the more we're in the Word, the more he's going to. And I think the more we are around spiritually mature people who are doing this, you know, that goes back, is it in your home? Has it been modeled for you? That's important too.
I worked with physical 14-year-olds for quite a few years. And I think it probably goes to high school as well, but their biggest question is, why do I have to know this? And so I think that there is also a point in the life of a Christian where we start asking, why do I have to know this? You know, what good is it going to do me to read the story about David and Goliath or some of the Old Testament stories? What I really need is, you know, the gospel. Or they will just say, I know it all already. And asking that question, why do I need to know this, is kind of a dangerous question to be asking, because then you're going to say, well, is any of this really that important?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think you probably have a better answer to Mike's question than I do. But it really, you know, what gets you to that point? Maybe I think it's coming to this appreciation. It's a love for the lost. It's an understanding that every soul is a treasure. And it's an understanding that, you know, okay, not only is this person going to go to hell, but they don't have the comfort. When they goof up, when they get themselves into a rut, they don't have Jesus to love them and forgive them. And I don't know what makes that click, but boy, when that clicks, you have a completely different understanding.
Or some of it. It's, you know, now I'm going to take that step, and I'm going to teach that Sunday school class. I don't know how this is going to go, but I'll try it. Or I'm going to go with Dave and Candace a little, or I'm, you know, whatever. I just wonder, how does that kind of look practically for us?
Yes, Donna?
I was going to say, I don't think it's something that you can make a jump from infant to 60s and 70s spiritually. So I think there's like a natural process or progression of it. That's why it's so important to get our kids in that beginning part of learning those stories, like Pat said. Why are these stories important? It's all part of that. And so I think your experiences and everything that you've learned all the way through up, you just, it's a natural progression. And you just eventually realize that you can do it. I don't know, you know?
And that's, confidence is important, isn't it? You need to, at some point, we need to be grooming people, you know, for these different church jobs and telling people, you know, you can do this. You know, just because you don't wear a dress up in front of people preaching a sermon doesn't mean you have nothing to offer the body of Christ and that you can't teach Sunday school or you can't share. Right?
Yeah.
Good. Brett and then Trish.
Well, as we study, as we read God's word, and as we attend, as we do all the things that we're supposed to do, and that our faith grows. And when you're an infant, your faith is wavering. Yeah, it sounds good this day, but something just happened, and where'd that all go? Well, you learn as you grow, as you learn God's word and what he has done for you and what his plan for you is. Okay, these are a necessary part of life. Your faith is stronger. The peace that you have about your future becomes greater because you know that it's not dependent on the, oh gosh, I just screwed up. My whole eternity is lost. And you learn the bounds of God's love. So as you become more faithful, then you see the responsibility that you have. Okay, maybe I should teach this class. Maybe I should go on this trip. Maybe I should help out with these people and these souls, whatever it might be. And so you do progress naturally if you are growing in your faith. So
maybe it's probably a little of both, isn't it? Grow up in your salvation. Christ's love compels you. and then you see it going on and somebody encourages you?
Well, if you're struggling with that, with your faith, and that doubt is persistent, and you don't have a good response for it right away, you're going to stay in that, in those teen years. But when you get to the point you say, okay, I know this is, this struggle is for my good, God is with me the whole time, He will see me through it, and all of that, and then you can see others that are hurting in the same way, and you can say, here, let me encourage you, let me come alongside you and help you.
Good.
One of the things that, when my girls were growing up, when I knew that they were confirmed and we were looking for jobs in the church for them, because they were adults now in the eyes of the church, I didn't just say, you need to go teach a Sunday school class. I brought them in with me and we taught a Sunday school class. They watched me do it and then they started doing it at the crafts at BBS, just like that. Annika had worked with me with crafts. We learned how to deal with something. If it doesn't work well, she saw us handle things. Shannon mentored Erica in that way and taught her how to do stuff. So those are practical things that if you think that you're being called to do something that you don't know how to do, find somebody that's doing it now to learn how to do it, and just watch them, mentor them, and that's for the Sunday school. That's a great way to bring in Sunday school teachers for people that don't think they know how to preach. It's just one of the applications, not an answer to this whole big thing, but to answer something practical if you're looking for that is a way to help your kids.
No, and I think it makes sense. I mean, now if you're in your spiritual 60s, it's kind of your job. Hey, come with me.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm getting us off track. I'm sorry.
Mr. Bauer, nothing? No. You can only answer the next question, what is your spiritual maturity? And obviously, what is God's goal for you? 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, what does it tell us in the way that a Christian will grow up? We've answered all these questions already. Crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you grow up in your salvation. And I think the more sure we are in the fact that I'm going to heaven after this life, and God's promises to me now are true, then that is going to cause everything that we've been talking about. Yep.
That little song, you know, maybe you know the words to Pass It On. When Brett was talking, it made me realize, that really fits with what we want to do. Pass It On is all about sharing the gospel. The key words that I focused in on were that once you experience it, that's the love of God, then you want to pass it on. And I think all of us have experienced God's love in one way or another. And the older you get, you have more and more of those experiences. And it's not always a pleasant time that you've experienced God's love. Maybe it's a challenging time when you've experienced God's love. And when he brings you through one of those challenging times, then it just gives you more and more motivation to want to pass it on to others.
Let's not talk about that. Yeah, what does that look like, becoming mature? And then the follow-up is going to be, do we have a plan for growing up spiritual leaders and missionaries in our congregation? And in a little bit, why don't you take 5 minutes and answer those two questions for me? Because it's not just it's not here and there that God wants us to grow up. St. Paul says, God gave you pastors and teachers to train you, to build you up, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, I think to that point, when are you done growing up? Well, as soon as you are like Jesus. And when is that going to be?
When you're dead.
When we are in heaven? No, when you die. Then we will be transformed. Or when Jesus comes back in the twinkling of an eye. God is going to get us there. Until then, we have a job to do. And it's to keep growing up spiritually. And as soon as you think, I'm good, well then you're a 14-year-old. And that's good. It's good to be a 14-year-old in God's family. That's great. You know, and then what happens when you say, well, I don't want to be 14 anymore? And then you realize, I have more to give. And then you look back and now here's another 14-year-old that I get to bring along. You know, that's the kind of growth that we're looking for. So we've talked about at home, we've talked about public ministry, but do we have a plan for growing up spiritual leaders and missionaries in our congregation? And what about your personal plan? Take five, and then we'll take about five to share, and then we'll be done. So do we have a plan? Here at St. Mark's, do you personally have a plan?
I think everything that we do, we have a okay, maybe wrap up the thought that you're working on.
Everything that you're on your computer online to lead that.
So if you had a really good thought, maybe save it and then you will hear it next week. Because I would be curious to see how you think we are doing at growing up people spiritually and how you think you are doing. And then it all is going to come back to you. And in the end, are we going to make people who are going to be very confident going with the gospel? Here's just one more person's.
Beautiful family.
We'll end with this. Where did he? I have a powerful family. Okay, have a happy Sunday.
Okay.